Welcome to the Food Matters Live podcast, where we showcase the innovations, the big ideas, and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future and the past, and we question everything that we think we know about food. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a food science writer, I'm a TV presenter, and a gastronaut. Today, we're looking at deposit return schemes, and in particular, a scheme due to be introduced in the UK in the next couple of years. The idea is to reduce the millions of plastic bottles a day that go unrecycled by getting consumers to pay a little extra for a drink. They can then claim that extra payment back if they return the bottle for recycling. Now, deposit return schemes are nothing new. They've been around in various forms for decades. I remember cashing on them when I was a kid, and certainly when I went on holiday to France in campsites, I used to gain a bit of extra pocket money by collecting them. So you might ask why it's taking the UK so long to get this off the ground. But what does the drinks industry make of the scheme? And will this really persuade consumers to change their recycling habits? Well, with me to discuss this are two fantastic guests. We have Gavin Partington, Director General of the British Soft Drinks Association. Hello there, Gavin.
Hello, Stefan.
Great to have you. We've also got Julian Hunt, Vice President of Public Affairs, Communications and Sustainability for Great Britain and Northern Europe at Coca-Cola Euro-Pacific Partners. Hello there, Julian.
Hi, Stefan.
Right, let's get start by getting a sense of scale here. Gavin, how many single-use bottles are we throwing away each year?
Well, if we look at the whole of the market, you're talking way over 20 billion units or containers on the market throughout the UK. But of course, no one's absolutely clear how many are being thrown away in terms of actually being thrown away constructively, I put back into the waste system and then recycled, or thrown away, disposed of in the street, regrettably. And of course, the idea behind a deposit return scheme is to capture all those containers and ensure that as many as possible are captured through a system where they can be recycled and then reused. That's the positive aspect of deposit return schemes.
So, Julian, tell us a bit about the scheme that's being proposed for the UK and what are the expected outcomes?
Well, I think probably, Stefan, the first important thing to say is at the moment we haven't got a proposal for the UK. What we're dealing with is a scheme that will go live in Scotland in August of 2023, and the prospect of similar schemes coming into force in England, Wales, Northern Ireland, and also the Republic of Ireland sometime in the future. And obviously recent political events have put a lot of delays over that timetable for that happening. So in truth, we're all now focused on the Scottish scheme, which will go live next summer, so in the summer of 2023. That creates all sorts of complexities for industry, for consumers that we can possibly come back to. But for now, what we're hoping is that the scheme will deliver on the big ambitions that Gavin's already outlined, which is to put in place an infrastructure that will encourage the recycling of more drinks containers, and it's not just soft drinks, it's alcohol as well, allowing more to be turned back into new aluminium cans, new PET bottles, and more glass up in Scotland. And, you know, part of my role is to look after countries like Norway, where, you know, schemes have been in place for many, many years, and you know, the learning we have is they are really effective at encouraging recycling, avoiding waste and litter, and getting more recycled materials back into circulation.
And presumably the Scotland version will be, well, we would hope it would be a template that could be tweaked if it's possible, and then that would be disseminated across the rest of the UK if it works. But what is the suggested deposit amount, and how important is the amount to the whole concept?
The set amount is going to be 20 pence up in Scotland, and we're assuming that that is likely to be replicated in England and Wales and elsewhere in the UK. I should say that when we conducted our own assessment as an industry, and we did a lot of analysis about this and how constructive and best systems work across the globe, we felt that a charge of 10 pence per item would do the job. It would be sufficient to actually persuade consumers to respond positively and proactively to the system, return the containers for recycling. But, you know, it was felt by politicians that a 20 pence fee would be appropriate from a political perspective and would send a strong signal, I think, to consumers that it is very, very important to return the item and to ensure that they get the deposit back, but also that, of course, the item material is goes into the system, as we say, and is part of that recycling circular economy that everybody wants to see.
And what sort of levels of returns are we likely to hit? I mean, Julian, you have experience in Norway. Do you think that's replicable here in the UK, or certainly in Scotland to begin with?
Yeah, and we've long focused the minds of policymakers on what we call the Northern Europe kind of experience, which is markets like Norway and Sweden as well, where they've, as I say, had long-standing deposit schemes. And, you know, you're looking there at recovery rates of 90% plus. Mm. I mean, these are mature schemes, been running, as I say, for many years. But nonetheless, you know, that's the kind of midterm goal, I think, for all of us in supporting the rollout of deposit return schemes in the UK. And as Gavin mentioned, it's really hard at the moment to get a good handle on what sort of recovery rates we're seeing to give a comparison. But, you know, the best data I've seen says that plastic bottles are getting recovered, not necessarily recycled, but through the household collection at a rate of about 50 to 60%. So, you know, it is a quantum leap in terms of the amount that we'll get, we think, recovered. But critically, what you also get is certainly in the case of PET plastic, you'll get a really high quality material coming through to the reprocessors, which can then be recycled back into food contact material. So you're getting kind of quantity and quality of materials that will allow us all to keep ramping up the amounts of recycled plastic we have. And, you know, and then the aluminium industry for cans in a slightly different place, but nonetheless, you know, it continues to help support that industry as well, collecting back and recycling. So good experiences from other markets, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, given the huge amount of the numbers that we're talking about here, Gavin, that you mentioned already, 20 billion in the UK, why don't we already have a deposit return scheme? Why does the UK not have one running?
Well, you know, you mentioned earlier, Stefan, your experience in France. And many, many older listeners to this will probably recall the Corona man, the guy who came round with the truck and collected those Corona bottles back in return for 10 pence or 2 pence or whatever it was then, before my time, I'm pleased to say. But I mean, that was an experience. I think it probably got overtaken by a couple of events in the UK. One was the development of a pretty sophisticated, in some areas, curbside recycling system, whereby local authorities ramped up their provision of collection of waste and started to divide it up and then send certain quantities for recycling. And that did part of a job, and it was convenient for consumers, of course. The other thing was that the development of consumer shopping along the lines of the growth of the major multiple supermarkets. I mean, the shopping experience for people today or in the last 20 years has been a great deal different to the days when the Corona man was in existence and people were getting the bulk of their provision from local corner shops and so on. So I think a couple of changes have taken place there. And I think there's been a change of attitudes as well amongst the general public. I think there's been a general growth in concern about the environment. We could see that in terms of broader concern around net zero, CO2 and all the rest of it, in terms of its implications for the way the Earth operates. So I think all of these things have come to a point where people have grown used to the idea that it would be better if we were reusing the materials that we put out into the marketplace. It would be better if we were recycling them, and it would be better if we were operating a system that, by implication, should diminish the number of bottles or cans that we see at the side of the street. None of us want to see that. So it's a system that can work, and as Julian rightly says, plenty of good experience from the Nordic countries, high levels of return, consumers have adapted to it there. I think there may be a bit of a consumer challenge here initially, and we shouldn't be sort of imagining that consumers will get used to this overnight. But that said, I think that people will respond positively to it over a period of time.
And I guess it's about the infrastructure, isn't it? I mean, I'm not sure how relevant this is, but we get our milk delivered by the milkman, and that has its own infrastructure because he comes there, he drops it off. It just becomes habit to wash your bottles and put them out. You know, we've never thrown a milk bottle away because it's just easier. You can put it out there, the guy come takes it away again, kind of thing. So it's about the infrastructure. Now, what is the impact on the industry of setting this up? Because obviously there's a cost involved. It's a transactional cost as well as the building, how you actually transport this stuff. What's the impact on the industry, do you think?
It will be very disruptive. It is a massive change for the industry, but also for consumers. But we probably should also not lose sight of the fact it comes at the same time as that there's a big conversation between industry and policymakers about fundamental wholesale changes to the way that packaging waste is recovered, recycled, and who pays for that whole process. So there's a kind of broader debate anyway, of which the deposit return scheme element is a critical part. So irrespective, there's going to be huge change for businesses over the next 3, 5, 7 years when it comes to how we collect packaging, how we recycle it, and as I say, ultimately who pays for that. So DRS for us is a form of extended producer responsibility. Yes, it's a massive change. Yes, there's some significant upfront costs for us, for retailers who act as return points. There'll be a change for shoppers that may lead to different buying behaviours in the short term. But again, we look at other recent experiences and see that, you know, what you get to, if the schemes are well designed, you can get these, the kind of environmental goal, the environmental ambition of these high recovery rates of good quality materials, and you get a scheme that runs pretty efficiently from both a financial but also an environmental standpoint as well to deliver those outcomes. So short-term big disruption, but we hope medium to long-term, you get a pretty good, efficient way of collecting really high levels of packaging that can get turned back into new packaging, which ultimately I think is what we all recognise we need to transition to.
And Julian, from your experience in Nordic countries, where are the weak points in this? Where is there a possibility of failure?
Probably the risks that we see, I wouldn't attach to experiences in other markets. I think the risks at the moment that we're looking at are really about the unique UK experience. So you know, Scotland goes first, and we're really waiting to see when and how England, Wales, Northern Ireland, possibly Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland will all go as well in terms of deposit return schemes. And the risk in there is that these systems are all different, either in big ways or small ways, which creates a massive challenge around interoperability that can create extra costs and confusion for consumers. And probably the easiest way I can explain what I mean by that is if you're in 5 years' time, if you're a consumer, buy a bottle of Coca-Cola in the station at Cardiff and you travel up to London, you should be able to put it in a machine and get your 20p back. Why wouldn't you be able to do that? And likewise, if you go from London to Scotland or Scotland to London, you should be able to, you know, recycle, do the right thing with your bottle or you can and get your deposit back. And it must be easy to work for the industry behind the scenes on all of that. So the risk is we end up with different schemes in different markets that can't operate in a joined up way, which creates real hassles for business, complexities, unnecessary costs, and fundamentally real confusion for consumers.
And sadly, that is a real prospect, isn't it, Julian? Because as things stand, Stefan, we have the Scottish Government proposing a scheme that covers plastic, can and glass bottle containers. And of course, the UK government has made it clear, even prior to its response to the consultation, which we're still waiting for, that in fact it plans to exclude glass. So that difference between the systems is already a real prospect.
Mm. And presumably that causes problems across the board.
Yes.
Now, Julian's been very, very diplomatic about this. Gavin, I wonder if the rest of the drinks industry is as sage and accepting as Julian is about the prospects of footing the bill for this. What's your take on it?
Well, I think it often is the case, you know, Stefan, in various sectors that the larger companies, the biggest companies, tend to do a lot more research and a bit more examination of the political map and the legislation and regulation that is out there. And the reality is that government has already taken the decision, the direction of travel of this argument, by introducing legislation to enforce plans to have extended producer responsibility for packaging in the market. So, I mean, this is the point that Julian was making before. The truth of the matter is that producers across the board are going to face much, much higher charges in future in relation to the quantity of packaging they put in the market. The issue is, what is the best way of managing that system of extended producer responsibility? Now, in the case of the drinks industry, we do have experience internationally. As mentioned earlier, the Nordic countries, particularly good example, but there's experience in Australia, other parts of the world where deposit return schemes have been introduced and provide a vehicle for the packaging that the industry puts onto the market to be returned via an automatic vending machine, a deposit return machine, or through manual take back to shops, retail stores and so on, or actually through to a machine that could be housed in an area of community activity like a car park or near a hospital or near a train station and so on. So there's a lot of experience of that. So I think Coca-Cola has certainly made a lot of progress in their thinking on this subject, and other companies are doing the same now. Do I think that all sections of the industry think the deposit return scheme is a fantastic thing? No, I don't. Clearly, it does involve a challenge. It involves complexity, and it's part of a journey. But what I would say to those sections of our industry who do perhaps instinctively think this is a problem they could do without, you're going to face much, much higher cost anyway. This is simply a way of managing that cost in a system that has virtuous benefits on an environmental front and may indeed, I think, cement the industry's reputation for doing the right thing when it is challenged by legislators in terms of what is the political and public agenda at play.
Hmm. Do you think the impact will be felt more or less by smaller challenger brands and you know, little artisan brands? Or is it sort of proportionally everyone it sort of feels a little bit of pain?
The logic of the system should be that, in fact, actually, there is an equal charge for the container and so on. There's an equal producer fee, depending on the kind of material, whether it be can or plastic or glass. And that's equal to any producer, regardless of whether they're Coca-Cola, Euro-Pacific Partners, or indeed a very, very small supplier. I do think that the challenge we've got in practical terms, Stefan, at the moment, is that because Scotland is going first, and Scotland isn't a defined separate market as we would know it in a traditional marketplace, but actually has probably sales of about one-tenth of the containers on availability across the UK, we have a situation in which some smaller producers may feel that the challenge economically of sending product to Scotland becomes marginally less attractive in the interim because we don't have that UK system in place. I think that's the more specific challenge that we've got on the horizon, that decision by Scotland to go from August 23, and there's going to be a delay inevitably between that and the arrival of a deposit return scheme across the UK.
And there's nothing an industry hates more than a lack of a level playing field.
It's challenging. It's challenging. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Julian, is this the right time to be doing something like this? I know that a lot of soft drinks companies have had to invest a huge amount in reformulation. You know, the prospect of sugar taxes and things like that is a big problem. There's rising inflation, cost of living crisis. Is this the right time for this? Should it be delayed, or is it just inevitable and we need to get on with it?
It's probably a bit of all of that, if I'm being completely candid. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the Scottish Government have been talking about deposit return schemes and how to implement them for many years. England, Wales caught up, frankly, on that debate. So it's a moot point whether, given the current, you know, very difficult economic climate, whether England, Wales will delay coming forward with proposals. I mean, our hope is we keep the timing gap as short as possible, simply because, as I've mentioned before, you know, having Scotland go with the DRS, the rest of the UK not. Gavin's already talked about, you know, we don't have individual markets. We have one market across the UK. That's going to create a lot of additional costs for producers. So it's a reality. It's happening in Scotland. We probably, notwithstanding all the challenges economically that are happening, we need to keep the gap as tight as possible between all parts of the United Kingdom so that we can get the benefits as quickly as possible of a single interoperable solution across all four countries, ideally.
Yeah. And Gavin, I'm interested in again the sort of the perspective of this and how it's felt by your members, basically. You know, the government intended this scheme to load responsibility onto producers for managing containers and managing recycling. Is that fair? Do you feel that that's a fair burden for you to take on?
You know, you could have an interesting semi-historical debate about this. I suppose a lot of people would look at that bottle on the table and say, well, it doesn't get to the table from the table to the edge of the road by accident, and it's certainly not put there by Coca-Cola. It's put there by someone, and that someone is a consumer who presumably bought that bottle and consumed it. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that legislators pretty much across Europe now, and you've seen this legislation introduced in the European Parliament and European Commission, have decided that actually the principle of extended producer responsibility is right. It is right to hold corporates to account for the materials that they put on the market, and it is right to expect them to fund the cost of dealing with those materials in the interests of creating a circular economy, ensuring more recycling, and reducing levels of waste that goes to landfill or the side of the road. I mean, that is the fact of the matter. Now, politicians have resolved that argument in their own mind. They've done so, I think, because they recognise that it tallies with prevailing consumer opinion, ultimately. There's a consumer view that as a society, we're wasting too much. We're not reusing materials as we should. We're sending too much to waste. Politicians have stepped forward, and that's where they've ended up with. I think a pragmatic industry deals with that in a positive and proactive way, rather than spending a lot of time getting angry about it or protesting. It recognises that that's what the elected government of the day has done. And as Julian pointed out, the Scottish government got here quite some time ago. I mean, this has been coming down the track in Scotland for many years now.
Yeah. Okay. So, Julian, why is that? Why Scotland first? And why isn't England catching up? Is it a different sized market? It's a small market to test something out on, or is it just simply that Scottish legislators are got into gear properly?
I think Gavin's articulated it very well. Scotland were looking at this probably a decade or so ago as a solution for specific challenges around boosting circularity, encouraging more recycling, and have been working, I have to say, closely with industry for a number of years as well about how do you make this a reality. And frankly, yeah, successive administrations in Westminster have probably been slow in catching up on the debate. And then, you know, we probably have to acknowledge it was a combination of, you know, the Blue Planet effect, I think growing concerns about the environment crisis, the climate crisis, and other environmental issues that have also focused the public's mind across the United Kingdom and have helped galvanise the political desire to take action, not just on drinks containers, but I think waste and packaging generally. So our big ask of the new administration, particularly in Westminster, is, you know, we really need to start getting some clarity as soon as possible as to when and how and in what form we'll get both deposit return schemes and how that fits into a broader UK-wide extended producer responsibility system, because the two are inextricably linked. You can't really do one without the other. And we need that clarity, because we're all sat here just not sure what's going to happen in the next couple of years, the next 3 years, and how we prepare our businesses for that.
Yeah, which is a big shift, isn't it? Now, also, Julian, again, from your experience in the Nordic countries, does this sort of system begin to change how companies run packaging? Is there a ramification? Are there different ideas? Is there innovation that comes around packaging itself? Can you design out waste, or is it the opposite? You know, do you need a sturdier bottle to be able to cope with the recycling process? How does that unfold?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, firstly, what it does, and it was a point Gavin made a while ago, is it really helps for consumers, because once they get into the routine of what they do with their empty containers and they see very little of them ending up by the side of a road as litter and waste, it really helps reassure them that the right things are happening to those specific pack formats. In terms of innovation, I think the one big thing is you get through these systems access, and again, particularly for PET plastics, really good quality waste materials that can then be used by reprocessors to turn back into food grade recycle it that the industry can then reuse. And then lastly, to kind of ring fence that quality, yeah, you're making sure that people are not, frankly, putting packs on the market that just cannot get recycled. So it's, I think it has more, from an innovation standpoint, it has much more to do with the environmental benefits, as well as, I think, engaging consumers as well and giving them some reassurance that when they do the right things happen. I think our concerns about the current curbside collection systems would be, even if you do the right things at home, you're never entirely sure that the right things happen after that. You know, that bin of mixed recycler goes to a material recycling facility somewhere that you never see. And it creates, I think, a lot of cynicism and skepticism amongst householders that the right things are happening when they do the right things at home.
Yeah, absolutely. And Gavin, do you think that there'll be a resurgence in glass? Do you think there will be a you know, going back to the fully cleanable kind of version of packaging, especially with soft drinks?
Well, there is a situation in some markets in Europe where there is actually a push for that, for more use of refillables. And I think that this is a debate that shows no sign of stopping. I mean, you can have developments in this. Some countries have gone wholesale for deposit return schemes, the idea being to simply get the material back and then it goes down to recycle it and then it's replaced and becomes a fresh bottle. Other countries, yes, there is a push for refillables. I don't think there's any particularly right answer at the moment, other than to reduce energy use probably seems like a good thing. So glass, you'd have to say, and transportation of glass may have its benefits in terms of refillables, but glass transportation is arguably less beneficial in other respects in terms of CO2 use and so on, because of the weight of it. It may be the case that in different countries, for different reasons, we have a combination of these at play, but all of them are likely to have as a common denominator reduction of waste, and reduction ultimately in impact on the environment. I don't see that theme that seems so current in political thinking going down in any way anytime soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's just round this off with a question to both of you. Julian, you know, there are not all drinks manufacturers are as large as yours. What advice, you've obviously been thinking about this for a long time, and Gavin's mentioned this as well. What is your advice to drinks manufacturers? How should they be going about preparing themselves for these changes?
I think probably three things spring to mind. The first thing is it's a legal requirement in Scotland. So from next summer, we all have to be participating in a scheme that will allow our containers to carry a deposit and for consumers to bring them back and get the deposit back and for those containers to then go through a system and be recycled. So it is reality. So first piece is, please don't think this isn't going to happen, because right now it's going to be a reality for us in Scotland. The second thing is, with that in mind, there is a scheme administrator established in Scotland. It's working like the clappers to get ready for next year. I mean, you're building effectively one of the biggest companies in Scotland in less than 2 years. So it's a big undertaking, but they're starting to engage producers. So make sure you're linked in with that. You've been to their website, you've registered as a producer, you're getting the information so you can start getting ready. And then thirdly is, after you've done all that, then start thinking about what are the implications if and when this all starts rolling out across the rest of the United Kingdom, and what changes do you need to start making now? Because there is a desire that we move to a much more circular economy when it comes to the packaging that's put on the market. And there are big disruptive changes, I think, going to come anyway for the whole of the United Kingdom. So get ready for that as well, I would say.
Yeah. And Gavin, what sort of advice are you giving to people?
Join the BSDA, because we can help. I would say that, Stefan, of course. But no, on this, seriously, we've been fortunate in our membership input on this issue. As I said, the bigger companies in our membership have taken a proactive approach to this and have been involved for some time in both an assessment analysis, but also some degree of expertise because of their international footprint. So they have worked, they've got expertise internally of having worked with DRS systems elsewhere. And as a trade body, we're keen to draw on that and extend it to our wider membership. So, you know, if you
do hear of smaller businesses, or if anybody listening to this is a smaller business in the trade and feels they're not getting the support that they need, please do remember we're on hand here. We were party to setting up of the scheme administrator in Scotland. We hope to be party to setting up whatever scheme administrator operates across the UK, because we believe it's massively important to the sector to have its voice heard. So do get involved and feel free to get in touch, and we can give you whatever support we can offer.
Well, Gavin Parsonton and Julian Hunt, thank you so much. I was concerned that there might be a bit of whinging and a bit of moaning about all this, but you managed to just scythe through that brilliantly. So thank you so much for your knowledge and your expertise.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, there are hundreds more at foodmatterslive.com. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe to the Food Matters Live podcast on your preferred platform. And if you feel inclined, why not leave us a review? Thank you so much for listening.